Well, it's 10 o'clock, and we've already had quite a day, haven't we? All right, so first of all, obviously, it's election day. Like everyone else you'll come in contact with, let me remind you, go out and vote. It's very important that you do, so please, at some point today, vote. Second of all, the shocking news, the incredibly shocking news, that the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, your Coach Q, your Joel Quenneville, is no longer the coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. I am devastated. Are you?
That one shocked the heck out of me.
Yeah, that is a huge surprise. As Dave was announcing it, he said words to the effect of, and we're getting word from the Chicago Blackhawks, and I started driving slower, going, I'm about to get some shocking news. I don't know what it is, but it's not going to be good. I could tell by the timbre of Dave's voice, yeah, this isn't going to be pleasant news. And it wasn't. I loved Coach Q. What a
Who
good
didn't?
Guy. Yeah, I know.
Second most winning coach of all time.
In NHL history.
Only one to bring us three cups here in Chicago.
Yes.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. It's really surprising.
And, boy, game on Thursday.
You would almost think, and I mean, sports are an important part of my life. They really are. I love, you pick the sport. I enjoy watching it. You would think that a guy that's won that many championships in a fairly short span of time could pretty much have the job for as long as he wanted the job. I know it's business. I understand that it's business, so it doesn't always play out that way. But you would think a guy that's had that much success, if you're the owners, you would go, you call the shots. How long do you want to be the coach? It's up to you. But it doesn't work that way, does it?
Go
ahead, Steve.
I was just saying, if you're a center or a goaltender,
yes,
and you get older, you know your abilities wane,
your skills diminish.
If you're a coach, though, and you know how to win a championship,
right?
I don't know how that goes away.
Right, right.
I mean, I'm sure it does as we age. I don't do nearly as many things as I used to. But it's just an interesting thing. So he's shown the ability to do it,
right?
But I have to jump in, too, and I love Coach Joel Quenneville.
Not as much as Steve and me.
I don't know if that's true.
Because
I really,
me,
I love
Steve
him.
And you and our love for Coach Quenneville.
I love the Blackhawks. I love the organization. But think about it. Corey Crawford's back and is doing well.
Yeah.
Taze and Kane are back in action, playing great.
Yeah.
We're still losing games. We didn't even make
horrible.
The playoffs. I mean,
I don't know
what the answer is.
Right, right.
But at some point, you're given the tools, and the tools are looking pretty good this year and still not performing. I don't know.
As last week got darker and darker, they were really having a hard time last week. They just weren't winning at all. They didn't win at all. So I kept thinking to myself, if they're going to do some sort of a personnel change, it's going to be with one of your bigger
major players.
And I went, I don't want that. I don't want to lose one of those guys that have been on the team for a while and have won three Stanley Cup championships. Dave Ennett joins us right now. Dave, we're in shock.
I didn't mean to make you,
drive slower
on election day.
3 miles an hour all the way here.
I apologize for that. I think the one thing that I think Joel Quenneville understood and alluded to this number of times is that All coaches are in the results business.
Sure.
I mean, like a lot of businesses.
Yeah, right.
And this team got swept in the playoffs 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
missed the playoffs last year, and after a promising first few games, but keep in mind, their wins were, they won their first three games in overtime,
mm-hmm.
which better to win than not, but
mm-hmm.
Lately they had struggled. They're winless in their last five games. And it was pretty clear they needed to get off to a good start, especially when you look at their division. We have Nashville's off to a great start.
Yes.
Nashville.
Yeah. So I think that those are all things that lead to this.
Yes.
Yeah. And like I said, we hadn't seen from Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews for a while. They were not doing well. They're doing pretty well right now, and we're still losing.
They are. And Corey Crawford has played well, which They didn't even know in training camp if they could count on him.
Yeah.
So is
part of this symbolic? Is it ownership's way of saying to the players, hey, wake up. No one's safe. You got to win.
I think in some cases, Bill, coaching changes are made that way.
Yeah.
I don't think you fire a Joel Quenneville, a legendary coach, to send a message. I think you do it because you want to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that You are bringing in a young coach who's coached a number of these guys at Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
So he has some familiarity with the talent coming up in the organization, the younger players. So that may be part of it. We'll get more of that at 3 o'clock. And I believe, by the way, we will carry that news conference live at 3 this afternoon from the MB Ice Arena.
And the new coach again is?
Jeremy Colleton.
The youngest coach currently in the NHL.
Yes, 33 years old.
His mom will sit by him on the bench during the games. That has already been established.
Been wipe his face off when he gets a little slice on it.
Right. He's a good guy, and he's obviously done very well at Rockford.
Yeah.
And so, but this isn't Rockford.
Right.
Who is older than him on the team?
Well, let's see. Duncan Keith would be older. I think Seabrook's older.
But not many.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he's a contemporary of, like, Taves, and, like, they're a couple years younger, but still, I mean, he's, he's
got guys. That happens now.
But we were talking about this earlier, and Steve made the point that Sean McVay is the coach of the LA Rams, who were unbeaten until this past Sunday.
Yeah.
He's 32, I think. Well, maybe he was when he got hired, but he's in his early 30s.
Yeah.
It's not that unusual anymore for a young guy to be elevated to head coach. A lot of college coaches that age. And
In our business, there's this axiom where they tell you, never follow a legend. It's not a good idea to follow a legend.
You don't be the guy who follows the guy.
No, you don't.
Or the girl.
No, you don't.
You want to be the second one.
So does that
you want to replace the replacement.
That's the way to do it, because then everybody loves you.
Right.
But so does that exist in sports to some extent? If you're the new coach of the Blackhawks, you're like, I'm following one of the best coaches in the history of sports.
Well, you know, Dave Wannstedt followed Mike Ditka here.
Yeah.
And
perfect point.
And who had the better mustache?
Tim Floyd followed Phil Jackson.
Yes.
That did not go well.
No, it did not.
We have to pause for a moment because we have the scheduled EAS test.
Oh, is that today?
Yes. So you need to get a commercial in before that happens.
Wendy, I'd be proud to.
And Dave, you can stick around if you want, because this is big news.
During the test?
Yeah, during the
test. Sure. Number two pencil ready?
Don't look at my paper, Dave. Do not look at my paper.
All right, and we have not gotten the official time for the EAS test. I will read a text very quickly. Dave Bennett is in with us. Wendy Snyder, Bill Leff. My heart is broken. I thought Joel just signed a contract. There is no loyalty anymore. I was thinking about that this morning, and you think loyalty means something, but the bottom line is you have to perform, so I think you and I should start working harder.
Oh, yeah. Starting right now, there's no doubt.
I think, I understand the comment about loyalty. Just keep this in mind.
Yes.
10 years plus is an eternity in professional sports.
It is, isn't it?
Now, granted, you win three championships during that time.
Right.
Then it doesn't seem like there's... Okay. So there doesn't seem to be any real mystery as to why he's lasted that long.
Right.
He's been very successful.
Right. Absolutely.
But it is a long time in professional sports. Look, Joe Maddon... Is his future beyond next year is in doubt
yes,
now?
Yes, it is.
Theo Epstein saying they're not going to, even though they say they still want him around, you know, but nobody's all that safe.
What about this element? They didn't just relieve Joel Quenneville of his duties. Two of the assistant coaches are also gone as well, and this leaves us with no guys named Ulf on the whole team. There's not a single guy named Ulf now.
Not that I can think of.
So that's bad. You want at least one Ulf on the
Ulf-less.
Team.
And I need to say something, too. I mean, you know, with the Cubs, yes, they won the World Series. Yes, they made the playoffs. The Blackhawks got swept last season, did not do well. But, I mean, you can't win all the time.
No, it's awfully hard to do.
Yeah.
That's why you look back at what the Bulls did, and you look at the run that the Blackhawks had from 2010 to 2015.
Quite a run.
And even past that, but they just, 2015 being their last Stanley Cup, that was, I remember sitting here and having the conversation that this is the equivalent of a dynasty now in the National Hockey League.
Sure.
In the era of the salary cap.
Right. Right.
See, that's another thing, too. If you perform too well, then everybody expects it. So, again, the basis of our show.
Yeah.
True.
So, you know, as much as I hate to bring our show into it, Paul Rennie, one of our bosses here, was talking to Steve and I before the show about the shock of Joel Kimball's dismissal. And he said, well, it's like radio. You guys could be great. And then at some point, you have to pull the plug. And Steve and I looked at each other like uh-oh. What a subtle way of telling us that anything can happen to anybody.
Is he talking
at any time.
About you, Bill, or me?
I think it was both of us.
I'm glad I was not here early for that.
Yeah, you don't need to hear. You didn't need to experience that.
All right, we have 1 minute,
Dave,
until our EAS test.
In closing, let's just say this.
Yes.
No one saw this coming, honestly. Really.
Not now.
No,
the timing of it, I think, was stunning.
Yeah.
Because I think that clearly this was going to be an important year for Quenneville, for the staff, for the organization.
Yes.
Could they, in fact, turn it back around?
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expected whatever... 15 games into the season,
right,
to see a change.
That's so fast. And on his behalf, Joel Quenneville's behalf, as soon as he decides he wants to be a coach on an NHL team again, he'll be a coach on an NHL team again. There's no team
without
in the world that wouldn't look at him and go,
no question, we
could use a guy like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But this early in the season, he might want to take time off.
He'll still get paid for the duration of his contract.
I think he'll be okay until our EAS test.
He's not setting up a GoFundMe page anywhere.
No, he's not.
He'll be fine with that.
Beware, here's the test.
All right. Do.
Do, 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 do. All right, I hope everyone did a great job on their EAS test. Just want to tell you there's a text here I got to share with you, Bill.
Sure. I felt pretty good about today's EAS test.
It says, so I take it if I'm listening on the stream, I'm going to die with no warning because there was nothing but silence.
Oh, does it not play out on the stream? I didn't know that.
The stream is a different landscape. It is not regulated.
It's the Wild West.
It is the Wild West.
Yep.
Partner.
Yep.
So I don't know. We should look into that.
People on the stream deserve to know that the world's coming to an end just as much as the rest of us.
I agree with you.
This is horrible news.
So we should do that. And I misspoke. I said the Blackhawks were swept in the playoffs last year. I know I meant to say they didn't make the playoffs.
They did not. Two seasons ago.
Yes.
They haven't won a playoff game in two seasons.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah. Yep.
Still makes me sad because I don't
Very
like
surprising.
Change. I really don't.
Yeah. And this is big change. Steve and I were guessing, you know, once they open up the ice rinks here in town for the holidays, that Coach Quenneville can just pace on the side of it and make us feel good. And go, I'm used to seeing him do this near ice, so this will make us all feel good.
You can't have a Santa Claus at every rink.
No, that's impossible. So there's plenty of opportunities.
I'm glad you guys are always thinking.
We're just trying our best to get through the hard times, Wendy. That's all we're doing.
I'm glad Bill's sharing my hard private thoughts with everyone.
Did you guys know that in this state, in the state of Illinois, as well as 26 other states... it is illegal for you on this election day, or any election day, to take a picture of yourself, what the kids like to call the selfie, Wendy. You cannot take that in or around your polling booth.
I thought they had changed that.
That is illegal.
No? Still illegal.
This is a story from this morning saying that in Illinois, Florida, and 25 other states, it is illegal to take a photo in the voting booth.
I didn't know that, but I probably wouldn't have done that. But I am bringing my phone in there because the Chicago Bar Association, my sister's a retired attorney, so she,
yes.
you know, about retaining judges, because that's like, you know, 100 entries of your time. And if you don't know what's going on,
right.
you right. don't know what's going on.
Well, you got to take a picture of your ballot. Otherwise, the guy out front's not going to pay you.
That's true, too. That's so true.
But you can't. I mean, like, I have.
You can bring in.
The do not retains. I have them circled and I'm bringing them.
I swear to you, it's so funny because I was given that same information this morning by my wife because the only judge I know is Judge Reinhold, and he's not running for anything. He's an actor.
You don't know Judge Judy?
Oh, I do know Judge Judy and Judge Dredd. So there's a couple of judges I know now that I think about it. But for the most part, I see those names and I'm like, I have no idea what they have done in the past, what they're capable of doing in the future.
And I heard Steve Cochran talking about that ballotready.org, so I went on there, and it's free. You just register, and you can go through the whole ballot, and it gives you some of the recommendations of the judges. Not all of them matched with the Chicago Bar Association, which is what I'm basing mine on.
Yeah.
But
who's deciding on that particular website if it's not judges and lawyers?
They tell you like who recommends them and who doesn't. Right. There's just so much information. You click on a candidate.
Yeah.
You know, it tells you in my area, Daniel Lipinski is going against a guy who was the head of the Nazi party. And it says that on ballotready.org.
Yeah.
So seriously, my son Michael and I, this is his first primary he's voting in.
Very exciting.
So we were going through it and going through the judges, and it's really a great thing.
It's very helpful.
And then I worried because Mary Vandeveld said that the place she's always been voting was a new place today.
Oh.
Or she didn't know if it was, but somebody said that they changed polling places. You can also find that at ballotready.org. You just punch in your address and tells you what precinct you're in.
Excellent.
Fish.
Bernice.
I did not expect the Nate Bogota reference at 1028. You're ahead of the game. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you some news and then all kinds of things ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And a Bill left on WGN radio.
You wrote that, right? That's not how the song goes. You wrote that. Quit it.
All right. It's Tree Time Trend Tuesday. I'm getting excited about the holidays. You can hear all about the latest Christmas decorating trends with Tree Time's Lori Kane, who is on the line with us right now. Lori, how are you?
Good, Wendy. How are you doing?
Getting excited for Christmas.
Oh, we are over here, too. You know that.
All right. We're going to talk about trends every week for a few weeks. We're also going to give you the chance to win a $200 Tree Time shopping spree so you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend. You can enter online at WGNradio.com/contests. And what is this week's trend? Does it succulent?
Yeah. I know that doesn't sound like a Christmas trend, but it is.
So cacti and things like that, why don't you tell us about that?
Well, this is kind of just a continuation of a trend we've been seeing over several years. So Christmas trends tend to follow the home decor trends, and everybody's been seeing in home decor lots of natural and earthy elements. So you're seeing like an earthy lamp or a really cool rough edge table.
We can still hear you, Lori.
Okay. Okay, sorry. So because of that, we've added so natural is also showing up as a color palette. So the color palette of like green of trees or the blue of the ocean or beige of the sand. So all those home decor trends eventually make it over into Christmas. So we're using a lot of greenery in our trees, and the most popular type of greenery out there right now is succulents. So there's a lot of reasons they're saying that why succulents are so popular. One is maybe you guys remember, didn't you guys own succulents in the 70s?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I had a cacti or two.
Did you?
Or there were just various other plants that look, they're not quite, they don't have needles, but they're still succulents.
Right.
Right. So they're saying one of the reasons that like kind of our age group is relating to the succulents is we all remember kind of nurturing and they were the plant we couldn't kill in the 70s, and kind of the new generation is re-experiencing that, you know, like it's an easy plant. You can do less and get more, which is kind of our new motto here.
So Lori, would you decorate this kind of in the same way that you would decorate a more traditional Christmas tree, or is it done differently?
So basically, to really make use of the succulents, you start with a tree that kind of has a natural vibe to it. So you're kind of going for maybe a tree with those natural color elements. So the one we've done in the showroom, it's an all green shades of green tree with some emerald in it. So you kind of start with that natural element, and then you add succulents in there. And it really gives it a modern, cool, California cool kind of look, and it ties with your home decor that everybody is loving.
Sure.
So it does make you think California and just clean, white, crisp, and simple.
Right. And it kind of brings, everybody these days wants that simple look. They want to bring the outdoors in. They want their home as a sanctuary. So it just brings that element to Christmas. And, of course, for Christmas, we've taken these succulents, and we love all things glitter in Christmas. So we've added glitter to them. We've added snow to them. We've added ice to them. And so it just kind of brings that whole trend to a Christmassy feel.
And if you have, like Bill, mm-hmm. Bill and I do, our beautiful tree time artificial Christmas trees, can you take, what are those called, sprigs? I don't know what they're called, but can you take those and put those in your tree that are of the succulent nature?
Yeah. So what we do is we usually call those floral picks, and we would take a lot of those kind of natural looking, like something that might look like just kind of unexpected for a Christmas tree. It might look like a natural grass or something like that, and you place them in the tree, and then you would take any, and ours, of course, are artificial succulents. You would take an artificial succulent, and you would layer it right with that look, and people have liking them. Another example of succulents that's been popular in the store is we took a lot of these succulent, I'm going to call them orbs. We tied them together with a red bow and hung them on a mirror. And that's been getting a lot of cool interest because it's just kind of a different way to bring your Christmas decor.
Nice accessory, right?
Yeah, it's a nice accessory, and it kind of updates what you might already have for Christmas.
That's what I love so many things about going out to Tree Time, and if you've never been, listeners, you really need to check it out. But you get so many ideas. There are just plain and simple wire wreaths that I've seen, and you could just wire some succulents on there, and bing, you've got like this just very minimalistic wreath that's not all full of greenery.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, their homes are minimalistic, so they don't want that all out, like, you know, red and green blitz of, you know, like whimsy. They would prefer a more minimalistic, natural look. And this just kind of gives them a way to, you know, make their house cool for the holidays, but staying with their color scheme and their trend of minimalism.
And you have Cassie, who is your Tree Time designer. Is she doing any more classes coming up?
Yes, as a matter of fact, she has a class, I'm getting my list out here. This Saturday, she's doing a class on the 10th on how to style your mantle. It's at 2 o'clock, and she has so many good ideas. And when we teach the classes, we really focus on how to teach you things that you can do. You know, we want to teach you something that's simple, easy, and something you can accomplish, not something that, you know, you have to be Martha Stewart to do. Mm-hmm. So that's our goal.
With all these tiny little, are they called seed lights, where they're little LED lights on a wire, you could actually have, like, say, a giant artificial cactus in your family room, and in addition to decorating a Christmas tree, you could put those little lights there. You could put that on your mantle. It makes it so much easier to decorate with lights now.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Wendy, actually.
If you need some extra help, maybe I can come help.
Wendy wants to teach a class.
Okay, Wendy, you are hired.
Wow, that was fast. That was so fast.
But it really does. You can. I have like an old, it was an old barn window that we made into a mirror. So instead of glass, it's mirror.
Yeah.
And it has this little like trap door that comes out in front of it. And we put artificial plants in there and those little seed lights.
They're
and
great.
It just looks so cool.
Sure.
Yep, that's exactly what we're talking about. So for Christmas, we're trying to do things that are kind of out of the box like that, like be a little bit creative, but not hard to do, just simple. So
where can we, now you guys are definitely on Facebook and Twitter at It's Tree Time, but also some great pictures and ideas on Instagram as well. How do we find you there?
We have a Tree Time Instagram, so I just go there through the website. But
I think it's at Tree Time Christmas Creations. That's what it is.
Yes. See, you know better than me. But yeah, we got a lot of great ideas out there, and we'd love to help show you what you can do for your Christmas, too. So come on out. We have Cassie and a whole great staff out here to help you get what you need. So
including Wendy. Wendy just added to the staff just moments ago.
Wendy, what are you doing Saturday?
That's excellent. Good for you, Wendy.
Maybe going out to Tree Time Christmas Creations at 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. And the website is treetime.com. So any questions, you can go there and find out all the information. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday on Tree Time Trend Tuesday. Okay, Lori?
All right. Thank you guys so much for
having
Lori.
Me. Thanks, Lori. Really appreciate it.
Right.
She's Lori Kane. And don't forget, we are giving you the chance to win a $200 Tree Time shopping spree so you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend. All you need to do is go online to WGNRadio.com/contest. All right, not only is it a Tree Time Trend Tuesday, but it is a Tech Tuesday. It's Election Day.
All on the same day, Wendy.
And it's Celebrate Bill Left Day.
It is today?
Sure, every day is that. CNET Senior Editor Bridget Carey is with us. You can find her at CNET.com or on Twitter, at Bridget Carey, Instagram, at Bridget Happens. And Bridget, people are voting all over the place, and people are worried that these machines are going to be hacked. What's going on?
Well, actually, if you should expect today social media to tell you, like, you know, oh my gosh, this machine's hacked, or oh, you know, a lot of people might be sharing these things, but it's likely it's a hoax. In fact, U.S. officials are expecting like a wave of disinformation or hoaxes and lying about voting machines being hacked, because this happened in 2016 during the presidential election with Russian trolls were doing it, and the hope is, you know, to make us diminish our confidence in elections. But you may see videos that look legit from people that they're showing the screen of something going wrong, but it doesn't mean if something's wrong in the screen it was actually hacked. Sometimes videos showing a glitch on the screen could be something wrong with the screen, like a software error or a human mistake. That back in 2016, there were nearly 30,000 retweets for a video that showed a voting machine being broken, but really it was used wrong. So a malfunction doesn't necessarily mean a hack, because the truth is, to verify if it was actually a hack, that doesn't happen in an instant. That takes a while. So think twice before you retweet something if something looks weird. You know, it might not be the word hack. It might just be like something looks glitchy.
But it's not, Bridget, I'm not a doomsayer, but it's not impossible, right? I mean,
right. No, these machines have been proven to be vulnerable. I just mean, like, a vulnerability doesn't mean, you know, that, sure, you know, necessarily, you know, someone is hacking the election right as we speak. Because you got to take that stuff, you know, with a pause. You know, take a breath before you jump to that conclusion.
Yep, all right.
You'd think this would all be solved before the midterm elections came up. But, you know, we don't know what to believe. I don't know. If you're worried about it, would it be best to just... I know you can use the electronic voter, or you can do the little punch things. Is it the counter that's hacked? I mean, should we just use the manual ballot? Would that be a way to make yourself feel a little easy?
I don't know all the options in your district areas, but yeah, like I would, if something looks shady, you know, alert a poll person, figure out, you know, maybe something if you're like the other alternatives, if something doesn't look, you know, right. But it's not the only tech election story we're talking about today, too. Like, if you want to get to the polls and you're looking for a cheap ride, Uber and Lyft are both offering discounts today.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, hey, you have to kind of go to a polling site. But, hey, you know, if sometimes it's hard to get out there. And so at least there's some slack you get to cut when it comes to getting
a
ride.
Who loses money on that, Bridget? Is it the driver for Uber or Lyft, or is it the company themselves? Who's losing the money?
Yeah, it's the company themselves. So some people tend to not tip on what the amount would have been.
Right.
So I guess you could say the driver might lose out if the ride was cheap or nearly free and you don't give them a tip that reflects the full amount you would have paid.
Yeah.
All right, and Amazon is in the news. Have they decided yet if they're going to Washington, D.C.? Is that where headquarters are going to be, or has it not been announced yet?
There were rumors, right, Bridget?
There's buzz that we'll find out this week, and it might even be two locations. Like, Amazon couldn't decide where to go because of tech talent, and they might actually pick two new locations. I wouldn't call it almost a second headquarters then. I just call it a satellite office.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, because everyone's kind of mumbling, oh, this feels like a big publicity stunt. But, you know, we'll have to just wait and see what happens. But in the meantime, Amazon's also in the news because they're dropping their minimum required to spend for free shipping for Christmas. So you don't need to be a Prime member. You can, and there's no minimum you have to spend. You'll get free shipping. The shipping, though, will take 5 to 8 business days. And we're seeing this with a lot of retailers all trying to, you know, compete against one another. Target recently online dropped their minimum spending requirement, but they have free 2-day shipping. And Walmart has free 2-day shipping, but you need to spend at least $35. The thing about Amazon, if you're wondering, hey, I pay for Prime.
Yes, I was just going to say
everyone
that.
Get free? Yeah, I would say the Prime folks, they get 2 days shipping for free, so it's quicker. The free shipping for everyone will take up to a week or more. And also, they are saying if you do pay for Prime, you're going to see more options for more items that you can get on the same day for free. So there you go. You might you know, catch a break if something you really need on the same day might be offered for free instead of 2 days.
That same-day delivery blows me out of the water. And, I mean, I ordered an inflatable cone for my dog who had surgery, and you could get it the same day, but it wasn't $35. So I checked to see the one-day or same-day shipping. It was only $3.99.
That's not bad at all.
So I had to do it, and then the dog chewed through it in about 5 minutes. All right, and in the way of cell phones, there is a foldable smartphone that's being released.
I would say maybe not released today, but we're going to hear about it later today in just a couple of hours, maybe even, you know, starting in 1 hour from now. Basically, Samsung has this announcement. They have an event going on in San Francisco, and they've been teasing that their long rumored folding phone, foldable, like the screen folds like a wallet, not a hinge, not like a flip phone, but actually the screen will bend. They're kind of hinting that that's going to be talked about today, because if you look on the social media accounts, they changed their Samsung logo into something that looks folded, like the word looks folded.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling that this is just to get the buzz going, because the majority of their conversation is going to be about how their version of their smart assistant is going to get better. They have their own version of Alexa, their own version of Google and Siri. They call it Bixby, and no one uses it. they are way behind everyone else, obviously. So it's a little sad, honestly. But I think they're still trying to keep that conversation going to let people realize that, hey, we do things too. So if you buy a Samsung fridge and a Samsung dishwasher and a Samsung phone, well, then maybe you'll really like to have everything talk to one another in the same language.
That's Bridget Carey, CNET's senior editor. Go to CNET.com for all the information you could possibly desire. And then some. Bridget, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Same here. Catch you next week.
Okay. That's Bridget Carey, everybody.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, WGN Radio. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, WGN Radio, and Veterans Day is quickly approaching, and we saw this story and wanted to tell all the listeners about it. Dr. A.J. Acerno is in the studio with us. Dr. Acerno, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Co-founder of Decision One Dental Group, you and your brother?
Yes, right. That's right. And my rest of my family joining in.
I feel like you're judging me with my smile.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No. Come on.
Did you be honest? Did you look at our teeth when we smiled at you when you first walked in?
It's the first thing we look at.
And coming off of Halloween, where pumpkins have the worst dental work of anybody on the planet. I don't know what's going on with pumpkins, but their teeth are all over the place.
I can carve a mean smile on a pumpkin.
Can you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, absolutely.
All right. Well, you are doing something in honor of Veterans Day, which we thought was a great thing, and we wanted to get the word out there. So why don't you explain this?
Yeah, I mean, we're privileged. We're privileged for what we do. My brother and I both aren't veterans, but we have a lot of friends that are. It's amazing when you know that in order to get dental work as a veteran, you either have to be disabled, 100% disabled, mm-hmm. not 80%, not 90, 100% disabled, a POW, or you might have gotten injured while in duty. Other than that, you don't really get great dental care. So we're just tired of seeing a lot of the veterans come back home and all of a sudden everybody kind of turns their back on them. We got to do something about it. So yep. We have 26 locations in Chicago. We're able to step up like that. Our doctors are all fully on board. We have mm-hmm. team members from almost 90% of our offices saying, hey, can I help?
Yeah.
And we just want to provide a day that we can help them.
Why are the rules that restrictive? That's really crazy that they would be that extreme.
It's probably the same rules of why it's restrictive on a lot of things. You know, I mean, save money.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. You know, all of a sudden now, they experience dental problems after they get done
sure.
with service.
Yeah.
But really the dental problems started in service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you get a lot of these veterans that end up dealing with, you know, they're out in the mountaintops. You know, we had one veteran that's literally out in the mountaintops. Started having a toothache.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem.
Like, God, what do you do?
Yeah, yeah. So anything we can do when they get back home, we have a veteran that is homeless, that needs a new set of dentures, can't chew. affecting a lot of stuff. So one of our doctors is stepping up this weekend and providing them a new set of dentures. And it's just things like that. I mean, there's great people in this world.
Yeah.
You know, on a day that's just like crazy news with politics and everything, it's just great people out there ready to provide stuff. And we just want to be that vehicle that can help people.
You mentioned being privileged. We all are very lucky. And if you have health insurance, a lot of times the dental insurance isn't as great as it should be. So even people with decent health insurance sometimes blow off going to the dentist. I can't imagine someone who has no money for it. They'll never go get their teeth checked.
I mean, you got 75 million Americans that probably don't see the dentist. You know, I mean, it is a the last thing I saw was about 45% of our nation actually goes to the dentist on a regular basis. And really, I would probably say that's more like 35%.
Really?
And bad teeth leads to bad health. Isn't it all connected?
It's all connected. That's that's one of the great things in medicine that's occurring, is that we're finding out that inner oral care and the rest of your body, it is a big deal all over the place. Cancers and heart disease, it's all connected.
Sure.
You know? So especially some people, too, you know, going out and getting a job and feeling confident and depression.
Yeah.
You know, a great smile is a big difference.
Yeah,
when somebody opens up and they smile and they're confident with their smile, man, does that make a difference in somebody's life.
There was a dentist a couple years ago whose ad stressed that they would not judge you. Come on in for a tooth cleaning or a checkup or something. We're not going to judge you. That's a big fear with people who haven't gone to the dentist in a little while.
I will tell you this, okay? We hear that probably every single day. When I'm at the office, they're like, oh, I'm embarrassed to open up my mouth. Yeah. I tell them, hang out with me for a day, and you'll see the worst things that you can possibly see in somebody's mouth. Like, you are nothing compared to, like, what usually... Right. So it's... What should happen is everybody should feel that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
You know, we're about taking care of people and improving people's healthcare, improving their lives.
Yeah.
So in honor of Veterans Day, this is the first year you're doing this, correct?
This is the first year we're doing this. We actually do one of the things that we've done for Patriots in the past is packages for Patriots, which is we buy back Halloween candy every year. So we're doing that this year. It's $1 a pound. Mm-hmm. Last year we got over 2,000 pounds of candy, over 75 care packages. So we started that in 2010, so we're over 100,000 pounds of candy. It's awesome. You know, like, my house is inundated right now with baskets of candy from the schools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it is... That's one thing. We get more letters from veterans in regards to that candy buyback program than anything else. They love it. They absolutely love it. A bag of Skittles goes a long way, as I'm telling you.
Dr. A.J. Acerno, and mention your brother's name as well. You guys are co-founders of Decision One Dental. You can find them at decisiononedental.com. What's your brother's name?
Dr. Michael Acerno.
All right, and you guys are giving back. So, listeners, if you are a veteran, if you know of a veteran, how does someone go about getting complimentary care for their teeth on Saturday? Is that when this is going
to
happen?
This Saturday, we have a number of locations that they can go to. DecisionOneDental.com. So, DecisionOneDental.com. There's a form on there. And if all else fails and you can't get to a computer, we know some veterans don't have access. Here's the phone number, 630-339-3172.
One more time.
630-339-3172. We want to help out as many people as possible this Saturday.
Can I ask you an unrelated question?
Absolutely.
You are one of the dentists for the Chicago Wolves hockey team.
I am.
So what happens when a player's playing and a puck comes and knocks out a tooth or two? You have to immediately go in and put in some sort of new bridge work for them or something, don't you? I know it's got to be temporary dental.
Can a tooth be reabsorbed sometimes?
We can sometimes. If a tooth fully comes out, we can go ahead and insert it back in. But usually when a puck hits it, it shatters, right?
The tooth shatters.
It's usually just a mess.
Broken from the root. Yeah.
So what happens in a game, usually they just say, numb me up and I'll figure this out tomorrow.
Wow. Right?
They just, I mean, these guys are warriors.
But then the players, years later, when they're done playing hockey, they come in and they get something more permanent, right? Whatever you're putting in then is just a temporary fix.
Yeah,
right?
We're trying to now do, there's a lot of new things in sports where we're able to provide permanent restorations right away. It used to be like, no, I'm going to get my tooth knocked out next week again, so it doesn't really matter. I don't need dental care. But now they really do want to get more permanent status, and it helps hold the bone. There's a lot of things in sports injuries now with the mouth that we can advance.
And I have a couple of dental implants, I should specify.
Oh.
I used to just say implants, and my husband's like, I didn't notice. So now is that something you would put in? Because it is almost like a permanent tooth, because I know if you don't get it put in, your teeth can shift.
Teeth will shift, and the bone actually goes away. So by putting the implant in place, it helps hold the bone. So a lot of players elect to, hey, just put the implant in, and then I'll worry about getting the tooth later on, because I know I'm going to get hit with a puck. We want them to wear mouth guards. Everybody out there playing hockey, please wear mouth guards.
When I was a kid, they used to give us in school these little red tablets that you would take, and it would show which teeth you're not brushing properly.
Fun.
I'm out of them. Can you get me more of those?
You're going to have a whole bag tomorrow.
I need a lot more product.
Do they still make those?
Yeah, they still make those, yes.
I'm telling you, that was honestly a great idea.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to brush for 2 minutes. And twice a day, correct?
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
If you have that red tablet on your teeth, you have to brush for about 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get all the red off.
It did help, didn't it?
It totally did.
You know what? I am going to go back. I'm going to go back. We need to start getting those back in the office.
Those were great.
That's a great idea.
One other stupid story. Years ago, I was wearing sunglasses inside, and I walked into a plate glass, right? And it loosened four of my front teeth. But they didn't stay loose. A day later, they weren't loose anymore. How is that possible?
So usually teeth are not like connected to the bone. They're connected to the bone by a bunch of ligaments. So actually, you could take a tooth and move it like a millimeter back and forth. So when you hit, it actually moves back into that millimeter spot. And then over time, the next day, it'll move back into position and tighten up.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing in the world. I thought I was going to have to have all four teeth extracted and put new ones in, but a day later they were fine. So now anything bad that happens to me, I just wait a day and it regenerates.
And you're in good shape.
Yeah.
This is a great
question. Do you still wear sunglasses inside?
Never again.
I was going to ask
that. That was the last time ever. I speak at schools now. I warn kids, don't wear them inside.
And don't keep your hands in your pocket when you're walking. Those things. Don't wear sunglasses.
Dr. AJ Acerno, we just wanted to meet you and thank you for giving back to the veterans out there. He is co-founder of Decision One Dental Group. You can go to decisiononedental.com. And this complimentary care for veterans, you have how many volunteers that are helping out with this on Saturday? A lot.
We have over 40 volunteers. Yeah.
Jeez.
Great. Yeah.
All right, so Saturday, November 10th, the day before the National Observance of Veterans Day. If people listening want to find out more, where's the best place to send them?
decisiononedental.com, 630-339-3172.
Good luck. Your first annual. I hope you continue to do this every year.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you, guys.
Thank
How many
so
cavities
much.
Do you have? I just have to ask.
I've got a couple.
Do you?
Yeah. That makes
happened.
Me feel better.
All right. Thanks for being honest. That was very important.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Welcome to the show. We're easy to reach at any point during the show. We're 312-981-7200. You can call us there or you can text us there.
And I just want to add Chicago TV's most complete local election coverage, Decision 2018, the races, the results, the reaction. It's starting at 7. First and foremost, you need to vote and then watch your vote count on Chicago's very own WGN TV.
This station, WGN Radio, will be giving you extensive coverage all through the evening, everything you need to know about the election and all the results and all the aftermath of it. It'll all take place here all night long, so tune in when you get the chance.
I'm excited to vote.
I am too.
I want my sticker.
Yeah, you get a sticker if you vote. If you vote properly.
I never got a wristband. My polling place only has the stickers.
I don't think we've done wristbands either.
Really?
Just stickers.
I feel slighted.
Yeah. Wendy, People Magazine has chosen their sexiest man alive.
I saw this. I agree with many.
The winner... I guess he's the winner, isn't he? He's the sexiest man alive, so yeah,
that's
the winner.
You wish.
Idris Elba.
I agree.
Which I used to think was a word jumble. There was a time where I would see the name Idris Elba, and I'd go, I can do this. I can solve this. But he is, British actor Idris Elba, is now the sexiest man alive. If you were hoping that it was you, forget it. It's not you. It's Idris Elba.
Are we going to go through the list?
I don't know if I have the list. Do you have it?
Yeah, I emailed it to myself because I wanted to talk about it. But
I don't have the list. So these are the runners-up
for
Sexiest Man Alive?
I want to hear John Travolta say his name.
How
like
do you
Idina Menzel. What did he call her
He
again?
Called Idina Menzel Adele Dazeem, which was way wrong.
So what would he
call? So how would he call Idris Elba? Jennifer Alba?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Alba Aris.
Yeah, right.
Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica Alba. Yeah,
I
maybe.
I can't find it. But they don't, they just give the one?
I didn't know they announced runners up because that would be cruel if you were like number six. You would go.
Well, they usually put in the People magazine.
That's
the,
what
the
I.
A bunch of, like 25 of them or something.
Oh, I thought they just
don't really
said
list
the winner.
Who's number two, three, four. It's just.
They don't
the
rank
rest
them. It's
them.
Just.
I don't think
the
so.
Field.
I haven't gotten my people this week
oh,
yet.
Okay.
So I will let you know.
All right.
All right. Elba starred in The Wire and Luther. He was surprised after being crowned this year's winner. That's got to be an awesome phone call to get.
Oh, I would. Wouldn't you be sure it was a joke?
Well, it depends who you are.
I would be sure it was a joke if it was me.
No.
Hey, it's People Magazine, Bill. Congrats. You're the sexiest man alive. I know.
All right, here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
He has a 16-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old son. So that's weird to me because the 16-year-old is just beginning to blossom. And she's like, people are going to go, oh, my God,
your dad is the sexiest man alive. Right, right.
That's kind of weird.
It's a lot to stomach.
He's
the guy... You know, there at some point, Daniel Craig is not going to be James Bond anymore. And a lot of people say he should be James Bond. Idris Elba would be the best James Bond. And then people go, African-American guy can't be James Bond. Isn't that a crazy controversy? The guy who is most the coolest guy should be James Bond. And he's right up there. He should be James Bond.
He says he was really tall and skinny. He's now, or he's 6'3". My name was Idrissa Acuna Elba. I got picked on a little bit. As soon as I could grow a mustache, I was the coolest kid on the block. Grew a mustache, had some muscles, bonkers.
That's the change?
Yeah, I guess. Past winners include Dwayne Johnson.
The Rock. The sexiest rock alive.
I will give him that.
He got that.
David Beckham.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
You don't see it with David Beckham. What is he missing? What would he need to change to be the sexiest man alive?
It's just we all find sexy to be different things.
What?
I just don't think he's that sexy.
It doesn't do it for you. Wow.
He's sweaty. Although I've only seen pictures of him like after playing soccer.
Yeah. He's not always sweaty. I bet if he showers, he's not sweaty.
Chris Hemsworth is a former winner.
Could see that. A lot of these guys have accents. Did you notice that?
Adam Levine.
He does not have an accent, but he is.
He's won me over.
Yeah,
I hate to say
I did not agree with that.
No,
I love The Voice. I watch The Voice, and when you see Adam, he is a human. You know, you don't just see him as the front man for Maroon 5. So I like him as a person. I still don't love Maroon 5's music.
Yeah,
I still don't think he's the sexiest man alive either.
Where would you put him in the top? What? Top million?
Yes.
That would be, to me, that would be an honor. If somebody goes, you didn't win, but you're in the top million, I'd go, well, that's great.
Can I tell you,
that.
Blake Shelton was on the list, and I would definitely put on that list.
He is sexier than Adam Levine.
100%.
Is he? All right.
And Channing Tatum was last year's honor.
You could see
or
that,
last,
right?
A couple, no.
No? Not for Channing Tatum.
No,
but
Bill.
You dismiss it very easily. Like, who could find a guy like that sexy?
Well, everybody, you know, find somebody else attractive. Yeah. But
are you surprised that in this day and age that this is still a thing?
Yeah, isn't it sexist?
Well, yeah, it is.
I mean, think
you
about it.
You can't even debate it. Yeah, it is. It's the definition of sexist.
Do they do this with women?
Yeah.
Oh, so they do announce the sexiest woman alive?
No.
Don't they? They
For
don't
people,
marry?
I think it's most beautiful.
Oh, they don't say sexiest woman alive.
No, I do not think they do.
Because this is totally sexist.
Who is the sexiest man not alive?
Abe Vigoda.
That's twice. In one show, you pulled out an Abe Vigoda.
I loved Abe Vigoda.
He's very sexy.
Yeah, they call him the world's most beautiful woman.
They don't say sexiest woman. They say the world's most beautiful woman.
Why don't they say the world's most handsome man?
I know.
Doesn't sell as many copies of people.
Yeah, because you want to see sexy in somebody in a tank top.
That's it.
Bill, you know me, and I have some weird visions for what is attractive, because I find Gene Hackman to be attractive. Only in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Not in anything else.
I still kind of find him attractive.
Popeye Doyle and French Connection, not sexy, but Royal Tannenbaum's Hackman is sexy.
He's sexy.
Lex Luthor?
Yes, sexy.
Yeah, sexy as Lex Luthor.
Mean and sexy.
I Never Sang for My Father.
Didn't see it.
It's not
I'm
a movie.
Sorry
I just wanted to point out that I never sang for my father. He's asked me. He goes, can you do something off the White Album? I cannot. Sorry. I don't remember Gene Hackman ever being named Sexiest Man Alive, Wendy. I missed a few issues, so maybe at some point he was. But
Andy Garcia should be on the top 10 list every year.
He is sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Can't argue. Yeah.
Even you agree.
Yeah. Most of these guys do have accents of some sort, don't they? They're from all over the world.
Yeah.
We don't have a monopoly on sexy here in the United States. Or Larry the Cable Guy would be the winner.
That really depresses me.
Congratulations, Idris Elba. You are the sexiest man alive.
Ow.
I can't say that. I was going to say that, but I don't know how. We'll take a little break. We'll get you some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder and Orion Samuelson. Are you still available?
I am always available.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you, Orion.
Listen, I wanted to pay you a huge compliment. My son Michael is taking a business class at College of DuPage. And in the middle of class, the teacher says, does anyone know a farmer? They were talking about agriculture. And sadly, no one in the class raised their hand. Hmm. Michael raised his hand and said, I met Orion Samuelson once, and the teacher got all bright-eyed and said, oh my gosh, how have you met Orion? And Michael says, my mom works with him at WGN, and the teacher didn't ask anything about me. He said, will you please make sure that you tell Orion that I said hi? So a business teacher at College of DuPage, Mark Quinn, says, hello, Orion Samuelson.
Well, it's very kind of you to share that with me and very kind of him to say what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't that sad? I don't know, strange. Other than Orion, I don't know a farmer.
Orion, you said earlier today that less than 2% of the American population are now farmers. Is that right?
Actually producing food. Now, a lot of people in related industries, you know, all the way from the workers at the supermarket to the processing plants to the builders of farm equipment. But when it comes to actual farmers who produce food on the land of the United States, 2%.
Seems low, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, it's a testimony, really, to the technology that we have and that we're continuing to develop, and the fact that a lot of young farmers are working with that technology, maybe better than their dad or granddad or mom or grandmom, but, you know, we have done so much to produce more without adding to the acres, because we're not adding acres of farmland, but we're adding people to the planet. And so we've got to get more out of the acres that are farmable and not in danger of wind erosion or water erosion or anything like that. And that's what these people work so very hard on. And I continually get a question, well, aren't all farmers in America corporate farms today, big factory farms? I hate the term factory farm, really. Because a factory farm would indicate you have an assembly line and all of that sort of thing. But no, 95% of the farms are family-owned. They may be incorporated for financial reasons, but they're still families.
Does this include the kids that play that Farmville game on their telephones?
Yes.
It does include them. Okay. Yep, just making sure.
Well, just wanted to give you a shout-out, Orion, because you're the only farmer I know as well.
Well, tell your son to return the greeting.
Okay, perfect.
Thanks, Orion.
Okay.
You also know Ed Farmer, by the way.
Yeah, but he's not really a farmer.
He's not?
No.
I lost that bet.
Although he should have been, because that's when the name, you know, makes what you are today.
Yeah, I know. Wendy, look who's joining us on the phone. It's our friend Reno Liberatore, Chicago sports fanatic and film director, who has put together a great documentary, a fantastic story about the 1963 Loyola Ramblers. Reno, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. And I was wondering, is it no coincidence that you're putting me on following the segment about the sexiest man alive?
It's all by design, Reno. It's all by design.
Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't win, but you're in the top something. So that's something.
Well, I'll settle for the top million as well, Bill.
It's not the worst thing in the world. First of all, congratulations. I've known you for a while, and I know what a labor of love, but very hard work it is to put together something like a documentary. This is such a great story. Congratulations on putting it together and finally finishing it. You must feel good.
I do feel good. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you, Bill and Wendy. I'm a fan of the show, and yes, you and I have known each other for quite a while, Bill, and it's very gratifying to finally have my film across the finish line and ready for air.
Well, why don't you, it's called The Iron Five. For those of us who don't know, why don't you give us a little background on this?
Well, Iron Five is basically a historical perspective on the team from Loyola, their basketball team from 1963. And it's quite an uplifting story. It's a story about an underdog, but it's also a story about a team who had a lot of struggles with social injustice. This team was put together at a time when, you know, civil rights was really heated up in the early 60s. And the coach of Loyola, a guy by the name of George Ireland, who was a All-American himself at Notre Dame University, was assembling the best team he could to try to get Loyola, a small school, to become competitive in basketball. And he sort of went around the unspoken rules, and it's hard to believe, but 50 years ago, basketball in college was predominantly a white sport, and a lot of people wanted to keep it that way. And there were these sort of unspoken rules between colleges and coaches that they would limit the number of black players on their teams. And George Ireland decided that he was going to assemble the best team he could, and he disregarded those rules that were kind of keeping things in check. So he assembled a team, and his team had four African-American starters and one lone white starter. And, you know, they faced a lot of adversity over the years, especially when they traveled to the South. You know, there were crazy stories about, you know, that when they went to the South, the black players could not stay in the hotel. They had to be put up with black families that were in the area. When they went to the South, they got out of the airport, and there were separate cab companies for whites and for blacks. So, you know, black guys went to the right and white guys went to the left, as one of the players told me in an interview. And it's hard to believe that, you know, that was 50 years ago. Yeah. But they helped to really break some barriers.
What you just said is the thing that rings the truest for me, Reno. Honestly, you know the movie that was about Jackie Robinson that came out a couple years ago? As I'm watching this, my head wouldn't accept the fact that this was not that long ago. This story about Loyola was only 54 years ago. It's not hundreds of years ago. It's just 54 years ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's a generation ago. And, of course, you know, what they did helped to move things along and progress. And I really encourage people to try to check the film out. It's a half-hour show. And, you know, at a time when we all kind of, I think, could use a break from the sort of anxiety that we have in our country, I think it's a real nice palate cleanser to watch something that's really kind of inspirational.
How many of the original members of this team are still with us?
Actually, there are four of the starters are still around. Vic Rouse passed away back about 15 years ago. The other starters are still around, and I was fortunate enough to be able to get interviews with all of them. And, you know, when I started working on this, one of my concerns was that, you know, I hope these guys get a chance to tell their story. They're getting older, and I, you know, I want them to be able to tell the story while they're still around. And those guys are Jerry Harkness, Les Hunter, Ron Miller, and then the white starter was a Chicagoan, a guy by the name of John Egan, who still lives here in Chicago.
Were they shocked at your interest in their stories?
I think they were really thrilled by it. I mean, when I first started out, I contacted John Egan because he was a local guy, and it was seemed like the first sort of easy step to, you know, get in touch with him. And I had a very, very warm reception from him. He couldn't have been nicer. He helped connect me to a lot of the folks involved in the story. And, you know, I'm sure that it's a good thing for them that this really great story is being, you know, told and kept alive, because I think it has a historical significance.
None of those players ever went on to play in the pros, did they, Reno?
Actually, three of them, I believe, got drafted. I think two of them got drafted in the first round of the NBA back then. But none of them really played for any length of time. Some of them went off and played in the ABA for a few years, but none of them ended up starring in the NBA. But what's partly a great side to this story is that these guys were not only these underdog athletes that went on to such a thrilling victory in the national championship, but they also were academically high achievers. The five starters ended up graduating with 11 degrees.
Wow.
Which, you know, you don't hear about that stuff too much.
Right, right, right. So you tell me, because I don't know exactly the climate at the time. It's we're talking about 1963. The NBA had African-American players. It was just at the college level where they didn't want the white kids and the black kids playing together at that point, right?
Right. I think part of it, you know, there were a number of African-Americans who were standout players, guys like Oscar Robertson and Wilt Chamberlain and those guys. A certain number of them that were at a superstar level obviously made their way to the NBA. But as far as the college level goes, part of it had to do with, you know, just still that, you know, all around the country, you know, things were not completely integrated. I mean, part of this great story is the Loyola Ramblers facing a team from Mississippi State in the first round or the early round of the national tournament. And Mississippi State had won their conference for 2 years in a row and were not allowed to go to the national tournament by a court order from the governor.
Jeez.
So he was a segregationist back in those days. You know, he believed that they should not go and compete against integrated teams. So actually the third year that they won the conference, which was the same 1963 season, they disregarded a court order from the governor.
Yeah.
And snuck out of town to go play in East Lansing, Michigan, against Loyola. And that game has come to be known as the Game of Change, because it was the first time that they had the opportunity to compete with an integrated team.
Amazing.
This just is shocking to me.
That it was such a short time ago. Can I ask, I know you were already working on this project when the Loyola Ramblers had their amazing season last year, but you already know this. This helps renew interest in the team and the history of the team. It was great timing, wasn't it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I had been working on this for several years, and in fact, you had me on your show a few years ago when I was just getting started on this thing, and there were points when I thought I'd never get it done, and I certainly persisted and wanted to, you know, see this thing to the finish line. But last year, you know, Loyola being in the news and being talked about so much, it was a great boost for me to, you know, like get that last, you know, 5 miles of the marathon done. And so I did complete it. And I think, you know, I think the timing is very good. Actually, Loyola, I believe, has their first game this evening.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Perfect.
And when does this air, Reno? And when and where can we see this?
Well, the first airing is going to be on WGN tomorrow night. So that will come on at 8:30, preceding the 9 o'clock news. And then there's another time slot for a second show on the weekend, Saturday night, right before the Bulls game. So it's scheduled for 6 p.m. on Saturday, and that's a nice time slot for basketball fans.
And someone has just texted, John Egan played for the Twin City Sailors in the 60s here in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Oh, wow.
So there you have it.
Very nice. Reno, please tell me you have Sister Jean's blessing in all this. Please tell me.
Literally.
Right. She has that ability.
Sister Jean actually wasn't part of the 63 team because at that time, I believe the college was split into two separate colleges.
And men's school and the women's school?
And she had to do with the other school, I believe, at one time. And then they all kind of joined forces. And then she became part of the Loyola family. But, yeah, I certainly hope I ever bless
I'm sure you do.
I can't wait to see this, the Iron Five. Sounds great, Reno.
Okay, well, thank you. I hope everybody tunes in.
Several chances to see it, as it was pointed out. You have your chance tomorrow night at 8:30 on Channel 9, and then Saturday at 6 p.m. also on Channel 9. CLTV is going to run the documentary on Saturday, November 10th at 10 p.m., and then the next day, Sunday at noon. So see it. It's an amazing story about the 1963 Loyola Ramblers and how they broke a bunch of color barriers. It's called The Iron Five, and the man who put it all together is Reno Liberatore. Reno, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.
What a story.
That is. I can't wait to see it. Although I wish he could hang on because you guys go way back, but we have to take a break.
Oh, yeah.
Can Reno hang on? I have to ask him something.
Yeah? All right.
Some
I know
insider.
What you're going to ask him.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, how embarrassing. All right.
Good.
All right.
That's what I do.
That's coming up. I'll be embarrassed a lot next. It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
All right, very briefly, because we have to take another break.
Yes.
We were talking to Reno Liberatore, who has put together this the Iron Five documentary, which you can see on WGN-TV. But, Reno, I understand, behind the scenes, Bill told me that you guys worked together on a production of Chi-Chi's commercials.
That's true. That was a few years back. I won't date us, but...
It was the 1940s.
Bill is such an outstanding, you know, improv guy that when we were looking for somebody to be a man on the street interviewer, we, you know, we cast a bunch of people and Bill came in and he just was the perfect guy.
Wow.
And,
thank you.
I guess my main question, Reno, is when is the documentary about Bill Leff and the Chi-Chi's commercial coming out?
Well, you know, Bill's got some fans in my family. I have a daughter in Phoenix, Jenny, who is listening online, and she says hello. And I have a son who's been a longtime listener of both of you guys, and I think he believes that Bill is one of the sexiest men alive. And he's married, has kids.
But that's fine. I'll
he's
take
a big
it.
Follower.
Well, congratulations again. I just wanted to mention that because, you know, Bill was a super Chi-Chi star.
Oh, well.
Yes, he was.
No one directs better than you, Reno, so it was a marriage made in heaven. It was always fun to work with you, so thank you.
It was a lot of fun, and let's do some other things in the future.
Anytime. Thanks, Reno.
Thank
Take
you very
care.
Much. And do you like Christmas? Do you want to win a $100 gift card to Tree Time? If so, you're in luck. Tune into the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow at 9:10 in the morning for another edition of Christmas Pete. I love that.
Christmas Pete. Coming up, the stories that matter with Jen DeSalvo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's right here on WGN Radio.